Let me pray. Father God, I pray that we will hear your voice speaking through your word this morning. And I pray that we will have the courage to act as a consequence of what you say. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again very much indeed for the invitation. It was back in June that Duncan invited me, and I can't believe we're actually here right now. And it is real joy to see familiar faces. I must admit, it's a little bit nerve-wracking too. But I know that I can go home again. And yeah, it's interesting. It took me, I was trying to replace these chairs. So I'm just looking out and looking at them. For 10 years, I was trying to replace these chairs. And I noticed, no, you did it when I left. So, so that's very kind. And I know that I join you at the end or in the middle of a difficult time as a church. And can I reassure you that we've been praying for you guys. And even the church that we attend regularly, I turned up and I just asked them to stop what we were doing. And we stopped and we prayed for the Pierces and for everything that's going on. So you are surrounded in prayer and love from outside of the village too. I want to share a few thoughts from this passage in Exodus 18. We haven't got time, because you'll stone me, to go through every single detail. So I'm going to draw out some big themes, and I'm hoping that God will be speaking. That's my real desire, that you'll hear what the Lord is saying this morning. And the phrase I want to start with is that God works in all circumstances through all people. God works in all circumstances through all people. I want to start with you doing a little exercise, audience participation. You don't have to call out, and no going to sleep. What I'd like you to do is imagine a beach scene. It can be a pebbly beach or a sandy beach, whatever you like. Just imagine this scene and the sea coming in and out. I'm not hypnotizing you. In and out. Just imagine that. Where the space, where the sea hits the land, is called liminal space. It is space that is ever changing. It's never constant. It's always something different. Speaking to a biologist, they say this is the hardest place, the toughest place to survive in nature, because it's ever changing. And in some ways, as we enter our reading, and as we look in life, and we think about where heaven touches the earth, we think about the kingdom we're living in and the not yet kingdom of the future, it's not a surprise that we're in a tough place. It's a liminal space. But God works in every situation through all people at all times. Even if we're in that tough place, that liminal space, God is in that space too. Just to round off that phrase, I want us just to keep mulling through our minds that God is in every circumstance and every place. I just want to remind folks of something that happened to me when I was here. Many years ago, I was sitting at the back and of an evening service, and Graham Elliott was preaching. And he was preaching on the whole book of Esther. That was remarkable in itself. The other remarkable thing is I remember what he said. In Esther 4:14, he hung his sermon on "for such a time as this." And when I went to Bath and Wells, I had the privilege of meeting with the diocesan youth advisor. And we talked about what we could do. One thing I didn't, a tough thing that's happening in Bridgewater, there's no youth work. There's no connection with young people. I've tried to nick Ollie a number of times, just so you know. I'm up above board with that. But we were praying. And as we prayed, I've got a verse for you. And the verse was, "You're here for such a time as this. You've come to show a new way. And I believe that God's saying to us this morning that God works in every situation, every circumstances, through every person for such a time as this. Whatever time we're facing as a church, or maybe some as individuals, for such a time as this. Because this is where we meet Jethro in Exodus 18. You would have met Jethro under another name in Exodus 2, Rule. I won't go into the details of that. But Jethro is turning up in that space of difficulty with Moses for such a time as this, encountering and bringing God with him. You see, the whole story of Exodus, as Duncan would have pointed out and other preachers, is about the pattern and purpose of salvation, how God transforms and brings life through his encountering people. And we meet Moses here with Jethro in that desert place. And that desert place is the mountain of God, that same place where Moses encountered God in Exodus 3. This is significant, that God is present in that desert place, that liminal space, those difficult spaces. He encounters Moses after they've had a battle with the Amalekites. Do you remember that story? It's a wonderful story. And if you read that story, go home, read it this afternoon. God uses people in particular circumstances at that time. Do you remember the story? I love this bloke in Exodus 17 called Hur. His one job in the Israelite community was to hold Moses' arms in the air. To most of us, we'd have thought, well, what a strange thing. But to God, to Moses, that meant victory for God's people, because Hur did the right thing at the right time with God for such a time as this. Chapter 18, they're in the desert place. They've been wandering. They're struggling. They're wandering around. And then we engage in this, that they have this, as Duncan said, this family reunion. Jethro comes and meets Moses. He brings his wife and kids back. And there's a lot in there. We haven't got time to look at the theology behind it. But he just brings the family. And what do we notice? Let's, in the first few verses, just very, very briefly, we notice that Moses accepts Jethro. He's a Midianite. He's not even an Israelite. But he accepts him as his father-in-law. He knew the family way. He knew the right way. But don't forget that the Midianites were descendants of Abraham. And maybe Jethro knew the ways. Maybe he followed the Lord God Yahweh. But Moses accepts him humbly and rightly and takes him into the inner tents, the sanctuary, and they worship God together. But in between that worshiping, or of the beginning, Moses tells Jethro the story, both the good and the bad. A little bit like I did, shared a little bit of the good and a little bit of bad. But Moses told Jethro it all, the good and the bad. And Jethro was delighted at how God had been working with the people of Israel, that given them victory and things were happening, but also knew that things weren't quite right. You see, this reunion between them both was building trust. It was a relationship built between them both. And this testimony of story of good and bad was about honesty, about truth. The power of story can bring transformation. That's all Moses did. He told the story. In Bath and Wells Darcy's, our strap line is living and telling the story of Jesus. Simple. And so we spend a lot of our time encouraging people to know God's story and to know their own story. And then lots of people ask me, well, we don't know how to tell people God's story. So we try and equip people. But, you know, the other day I said, right, there's this course called Talking Jesus. I don't know if you've done it here. Can I recommend it? It is a 6-week course. And it tells you about how to communicate Jesus with your everyday folks. I put it out to our deanery, 24 churches. How many people want to do it? One. And we wonder why the church is not surviving. We need to learn these things. Sorry, I've gone off on one. Telling the story can bring transformation. It really can. You see, here, God is at work through this Midianite Jethro. And this encounter develops as we move on to verses 13 to 27. They're living a hardship. You see, you've got Moses who is working his socks off, literally, grinding himself down. Some people say he was an inept administrator. I don't think he was. He was trying to be the person of God that he'd been called to do and be. Just imagine your own lives, and maybe this is you right now. Maybe there's one or two here that you take on a role, and then you're given another role, then you're given another role, and then life happens, and suddenly the pressure cooker gets too much. What happens if you don't set the release valve? It explodes. It really explodes. Moses was in this place. But imagine, just imagine that someone came along in your life and took one of those things away. Or you were able, with the power of God within you, just to let something go. I wonder if you've had that feeling of just going, and feeling good. It's God saying to us, we're doing too much. What have we got to let go as individuals, as a church, as a society maybe? You see, Moses was in this pressure cooker environment of doing too much. Maybe brought upon himself, but he was called by God. And the consequence was that the people were frustrated. Imagine the queues. You have one man with thousands of people. The people were frustrated. So in verses 13 and 14, we see that Jethro is watching what Moses is doing. He confronts Moses. Note, he confronts Moses after building a trusting and loving and godly relationship with him. They have worshipped. It wasn't just coming in cold. There was a deep relationship. And he says, what you are doing is not good. That's pretty harsh. I know that if someone said that to me, I'd have to... It depends who said it. You know, how you take it. It's not good. Here we see God working in every circumstance through all people, which is Jethro, the Midianite, at such a time as this. Maybe a question for us to pause and think about, where do we need help to determine whether we're doing too much? Where's the Jethro in our lives that will help us as individuals, as a people? Or where can we be a Jethro through a loving, godly, living relationship to someone else? Have you noticed anyone else in the pressure cooker of life? And maybe they need a word. In my role, I am very privileged to go and talk to many, many people. And in one... you might relate to this. Earlier this year, one of my roles was go to a church and work them through the MAP process, the Mission Action Plan process. And the minister there, you could look at the fear in his eyes. He knew this is what they had to do. But, do you know, for most of his ministry, he's flown solo. And I said, if you want to make the MAP sticky, you need to involve everybody. And this was something new. This was something new to him. But I journeyed alongside him, and this week we finished the journey. And he stood up and he went, thank you. You know, and this is what he said. He said, you knew how I felt at the beginning of this journey. There's a little team of us. But we're now there, and there is an amazing plan ahead. All we've got to do is do it. You know, there's no point having words on a bit of paper. You've got to do it. But you can see the transformation, and he openly admits he couldn't have done it without someone by his side. Where do we need someone? Where can we be someone for someone else? You see, what we see here is Moses listens to the problem and implements the advice that Jethro gives. He doesn't just hear it. And what we don't know in this passage is how long it takes. We assume it takes one verse, or maybe two verses. But imagine what it means to count to 1,000 people and split them up into hundreds and fifties and tens. And it says in verse 20 that Jethro suggests to Moses that actually you teach them the laws, the statutes. It takes time to implement new strategies and new ways. It's not a quick fix. There's a time and a process. And what we see is that Moses was encouraged and the people of God were encouraged because people were starting to be used. Their gifts were being used. You may recall back on the 9th of September 2016 in my last sermon when I was vicar. No one's nodding. You must remember, I quoted from Ephesians 4, verse 16. From him, that is Jesus Christ, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. What we see in this passage of Jethro and Moses is that each part is beginning to be the people of God that God wants them to be. In the New Testament, we need to be the people of God. God wants us to be as individuals and as churches. And I believe this as strongly today as I did 3 years ago. I'm drawing to a close. 3 points, 2 stories. What do we see from this? God's pattern and purpose is about salvation, about change. And to bring that about, he uses different people at different times for the right time to bring that about. We see this ultimately in Jesus Christ's death on the cross, bringing transformation. This is the ultimate way we're seen, but he wants to use his body right now to do the same. In discerning this, we see that Jethro and Moses worship God together. It is not done in isolation. God is brought into the process every single time. Jethro even offers as a sacrifice to God as a sign of commitment. Make no decisions unless the Lord is involved. And we see that God is involved and encounters in the encounters and uses all people. Let me tell you the first story. This Christmas, Argos have this thing. They do a big lunch, and this young man came to talk to us. And he said, I've got this funny feeling that for our Christmas meal this year, I want to give our staff the opportunity to actually donate their Christmas meal to the hungry and homeless of Bridgewater, of which there are many. And what a fantastic idea. And so we asked him, why are you doing this? Because he's not a man of faith. He doesn't go to church. And he said, I don't know. I've just got this weird feeling. So we encouraged him in this endeavors. And then we said to him, let us come back and talk to you about the weird. Because we truly believe God is using him in the purpose of the kingdom. Yes, it's good work. Do not isolate God just to the church. God will be moving and ministering and living and active around about us all. And I want to finish with this story because I promised Bill I would. As I was writing and putting my finishing touches to what I wanted to say this morning, and hopefully God will be speaking, my email pinged, and it was from Bill. And he knows my love of rugby. At first, I thought he was rubbing it in because it was an article about the Springboks. But this line from the Springboks captain. And by the way, I do believe the right team won on the right day. I do believe that. And the South African captain, Siya Koloshi, is a Christian. And he said these words, and as I was reading this, it just went wham in my face. God has been preparing me for such a time as this. And I believe that is a word, brothers and sisters, for us today, for such a time as this. What is God saying? Interesting, you continue to read the article, and it goes on. In order to do this, walking alongside a spiritual mentor, I've been able to discover the truth and saving power of Christ in a whole new way. The captain of the Springboks had a mentor. He had a Jethro. He had someone enabling him to be the best person he could be for the right time in the right place. I know that's rugby. You know my passion for it. So I'm just going to ask us, if it's all right with Duncan, just to pause. What is God saying to us as individuals and as a church? We know that God works in all circumstances, through all people, for such a time as this. I'd like us to pause, just ask God, I'll then pray. So let's just be still. Father God, I pray that if there's anything I've said this morning that's not of you, you will take it from our minds. But if it's of you, will you give us courage to act? In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
So let's continue in prayer. Father, as we come before you today, many of us have on our minds members of this congregation whose lives have this past week